Well, let's turn our hearts towards the Lord and to prayer as we begin our sermon. Lord God Almighty, we thank you for this day that we have to live with you. We thank you for the honor, the privilege of being ones that you have reached out to and grabbed a hold of and drawn to yourself. Today we want to respond appropriately to you. Today we ask that your Holy Spirit would work in us to enable us to have faith, to enable us to say yes, to enable us to respond in a way that brings you glory. We thank you for the privilege of prayer. As we speak to you right now, we're just in awe, Lord, that you invite us to enter into the very throne room to receive grace and mercy in our time of need. And indeed, Lord, we are needy most of the time. So we ask that you would guide us now. And we now take authority over this time, and we banish the elements of the demonic. We bless this environment to be a place of encounter with the living Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Well, I invite you to turn with me to an interesting passage of Scripture. Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13 we'll be looking at. We're starting a new mini-series for spring and early summer called Lord, Teach Us to Pray. Lord, Teach Us to Pray. Luke chapter 11. The disciples had been with Jesus by this time for a little while. It's about maybe midway through the three-year period of time that they had spent with Jesus. And the interesting thing comes up. Of all the things they'd watched Jesus do, of all the things they saw him do in ministry, interact with people, the miraculous calming of waters, multiplying of food, raising dead, healing sick people, casting out demons out of demonized people. They saw all those things, but this is the only time they said, Lord, teach us how to do this. That's significant, isn't it? The only time they said, Jesus, teach us how to do what you've been doing, is this particular moment. It's as if they recognize that the other stuff that Jesus did somehow is tied in to this particular thing that Jesus did. They didn't ask, Lord, help us to calm waters. Help us to produce wine from water. Help us to multiply food. Help us to heal sick people. Help us to raise dead boys. They didn't ever ask that. But they asked him to help them learn how to do this one thing. Maybe it's because they saw this as being foundational. Maybe because they recognized that this was the secret behind everything that Jesus did. Luke chapter 11 says, one day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. Now, the phrasing of that implies that, well, this was kind of a common thing. And as you read through your Gospels, indeed, you will see that time and time again, Jesus was praying. After a full day of ministry, he wakes up early before it's even light and goes off to pray. When he's choosing disciples, he prays. When he's trying to figure out what it is God wants him to do next, he prays. Throughout his ministry time, we see him time and time again praying. It seems to be his pattern. It seems to be his habit. One day, Jesus was praying. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Lord, teach us how to pray. I want to encourage you to think about that phrase, Lord, teach us to pray. And recognize that that is a pivotal moment in the life of the disciples, in the gospel accounts, and it's a pivotal moment in your life. In fact, I believe that if we will become people who are asking this question over and over again, who are praying this prayer over and over again, it'll transform you as an individual. It'll transform you as a mother. It'll transform you as a father. It'll transform you as a young person. It'll transform us as a community of followers of Christ. If we are willing to pray, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, Jesus is going to give him an answer. And we're going to see it really in four parts there, a four-part answer. But a thing I want you to recognize before we get to the answer is what Jesus did not say. Jesus did not hear them say, Lord, teach us to pray, and then say, don't even bother. Yes, I've been over here praying, but I'm God, and you're not. And so it doesn't even, it's not even worth your time asking you me to help you learn how to pray like me, because that's impossible. Jesus didn't say that, and that is significant. Sometimes you really need to read between the lines and see what Jesus doesn't say, what Scripture doesn't say. Jesus doesn't say, don't ask me how to pray. Don't expect me to teach you how to pray. Don't think you could pray like me. Rather, he's going to go on to a very important answer. And the answer is basically this. Oh, I'm so glad you finally asked. I've been waiting for you to ask. I've been doing all this stuff with you, building a relationship with you, showing you ministry, hoping that eventually you'd ask so that I could reveal to you the key to all ministry, the key to everything I do, everything you will do. In fact, Jesus is so excited about this question and the answer he's about to give, and he wants you to be excited about it. He wants you to pray, Lord, teach me how to pray, and then have a sense of expectation that he's going to answer that prayer. Jesus wants you to be a woman of prayer, a man of prayer, a boy, a girl of prayer. Whatever age you are, whatever station of life you are in, he wants you to be a person of prayer. We can have expectation for the answer that's coming. Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, we pray to Jesus and we ask him to help us to pray. He's the master prayer. He's the one that prayed better than anyone else on earth. So he can teach us how to pray. Lord, teach us. Teach. Do you realize who asked that question? It was one of the disciples. It was a Jewish man who grew up in a Jewish culture, observing prayer all the time. It was part of his childhood, part of his upbringing. They saw professional prayers. They saw weekly prayers in the home. They saw all this prayer going on. But when they saw Jesus praying, they go, oh, I want to learn how to pray like that. Teach me how to do that. Jesus prayed at such a higher level that they saw they had a need to be taught how to pray. A guy who had been praying most of his life is saying, I need help learning how to pray like you, Jesus. So let me pose this to you. Do you need Jesus to teach you how to pray? I know you pray. I know you pray a lot. But is your prayer life all that Jesus wants it to be? Or is there room for growth? Are there steps, are there stages, are there aspects that you could grow in your prayer life? See, there seems to be this thought that runs around that, everybody knows how to pray. Everybody prays. But my question to you, does everybody pray well? Does everybody pray as well as they could? What might help you grow in your prayer? And I think these four answers that Jesus is going to give us here in the next paragraphs will help. But I believe there's much room for me to grow in my prayer life. I've been part of a ministry for over 15 years called the College of Prayer. It's like, who's ready for college of prayer? I need preschool of prayer. Maybe elementary school of prayer. But this ministry is called College of Prayer. And they've gone all over the world teaching pastors and leaders how to grow in their prayer life. And we have a thrilling opportunity coming up next month to go with the College of Prayer to Ethiopia and be part of training both pastor leaders, but also there's going to be a meeting with 100 members of parliament and teaching them how to pray. The decision on who's going to go with me needs to be made today and tomorrow. We finally had somebody volunteer. And until that happened, Lisa said, well, if no one else goes, I'll go with you, Joel, which thrilled me. So we're now down to deciding whether it's Lisa and another individual or whether it's both of them. So be in prayer about that. But what a thrilling thing to be able to do. Go and teach pastors and leaders and parliament leaders in Ethiopia the answer to this question. How do we pray like Jesus? And I think it's not just something that Ethiopians need, but it's something that we need and I need. So I'm thrilled to be digging into this topic again and looking at these important scriptures and asking Christ, Lord, help me pray like you prayed. And to then be able to talk about it as a congregation, Lord, teach us as a congregation how to pray. But when you say, Lord, teach me how to pray, you're implying you need to grow in your prayer life. And I believe we all do. Lord, teach us how to pray. All of us, whoever we are, need to personally ask for that help and grow in prayer. And then lastly, Lord, teach us how to pray, how to interact with you, how to converse with you, how to be a person who not just knows about prayer, but actually does pray. Prayer is something learned not from a textbook, but by doing. And I'm looking forward to more time praying with you. Now, Jesus answers their question, implying that there is a yes answer to this question in the following ways. Again, looking at Luke chapter 11. We'll start again at the beginning. One day, Jesus was praying at a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. We'll pause there. We know that paragraph as the Lord's Prayer. What Jesus gave them as the first answer to their question, Lord, teach us how to pray, is he gave them a pattern. We're going to have four P words to help you keep track of things. First of all, he gave them a pattern. It's called the Lord's Prayer pattern. And I encourage you to think of this pattern for prayer as being something that would really help you in your prayer. And we're going to dig into it in a lot more detail next week, but notice there's different stages of prayer. There's celebrating the relationship we have with God. We don't pray to someone who's an ogre who hates us. We pray to our Father. Relationship. And it's a Father that's in heaven. And we worship him. Hallowed be thy name. There's worship involved. So often when we pray, we say, Lord, put a shield about me so when I'm driving home from the council meeting, I don't hit a deer. I should have been more specific. I should have said, give me a 10-foot shield. But instead I got a 10-centimeter shield last Thursday driving home from my council meeting. I didn't hit it, but I was this close, and I was shaking as I had the adrenaline rush let go as I started moving again, thinking, Lord, I asked you to keep the deer away from me. Then it dawned on me, he did. That far away from me. But so often our prayers are for things like protection or provision, and yes, those are good prayers. And we're going to see in the Lord's Prayer pattern, there is that request for daily bread. But worship, relationship, forgiveness, protection is a part of it, but these other things are crucial as well. So I want to dig into that prayer pattern, but I encourage you to be digging into it in advance and recognizing that as we're going to pray like Jesus, we need to pray the topics that Jesus prayed about. Examine your own prayer life. Does it follow the Lord's Prayer pattern? Do you hit these other subjects, these other topics? Do you celebrate the relationship? Do you worship? Do you invite him to continue to be helping you to forgive others? Do you ask him to help you not give in to temptation? Do you ask him to deliver you from the evil one? All of those are important. They're part of the praying like Jesus answer that we have, the prayer pattern. But the paragraph goes on. It's as if Jesus wants to teach us even more. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door's already locked, and my children are in bed. Children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, Yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. What we have there is a prayer picture, or you might say a prayer parable. It's Jesus teaching a truth. Now you need to be careful with parables so you don't think every little part has a profound meaning. Most of the time, parables have one meaning. And what's the meaning of this one? Persistence. Persistence. Or as the NIV translation I read uses the word audacity. Asking. You have a need, so you ask. Persistence. Sometimes the answers don't come right away. Oh, it'd be nice if it worked like a candy machine. You put in your coins, you push the button or pull the lever, and out pops the thing you asked for. But so often God wants to do a transforming work in us. And so as we're asking, God's wanting to know, do you really mean it? Do you really want it? Are you aligning your thinking and your valuing along with mine? God's doing a transforming work in us as we're asking. And sometimes in the process of asking and the answering that he brings, there's a changing of our mindset even. So we realize that thing we were asking for really wasn't that important. I dropped off a rental car this morning on my way through Fertile that I've been blessed to be used for a couple of weeks while my truck's being repaired. As we're pulling out, I'm driving by the used cars. Convertible black Camaro right there on the end. Wouldn't that be fun to drive around? But you know what would really stink is to buy a nice car like that and come home from a council meeting at 10:30 at night and hit a deer. Maybe God's protecting us by not answering some of our prayers. But there's persistence being taught here. Jesus wants us to be persistent in prayer. So we have the prayer pattern, then this prayer picture or prayer parable. Notice next some prayer promises in verse 7. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. One who seeks, finds. And to one who knocks, the door will be opened. Those are the words of Christ. Jesus said those words. The question was asked of him, Lord, teach us how to pray. And Jesus gave those promises. Prayer promises for you. Now, it's possible you hear those and you go, oh, that is wonderful. He said, I ask, I get. I knock, it gets opened. I seek, I find. That's a huge promise. I'm going to tap into that. My prayer life's going to be transformed. Or maybe you thought that at one time, and then you didn't see the answer that you were expecting, and suddenly your faith has waned. Suddenly you're saying, maybe that wasn't the truth that Jesus said there. Suddenly you're wondering, why did he say it at all if he's just going to set me up for failure? He says, here's a pattern. He says, here's a parable about persistence. Then he says, here are some promises. But how do I actually live that out? What if I've tried to pray before and haven't seen answers come? So I'm really doubting these promises. That's when we need to say, God, help my unbelief, because I've gotten a little sour as I've tried prayer before, and it didn't quite work the way I thought it might. I believe the devil wants us all to take that paragraph and cut it out of our Bible. You could be like Thomas Jefferson, who took an X-Acto knife and cut out the things of the Bible he didn't think should be in there. Let me encourage you not to follow that example. Instead, I invite you to take a look at these tough passages when Jesus makes huge promises and say, Lord, how can this promise be true in my experience? Maybe it means more than I realize. Maybe it means something I have to conform my thinking to. But don't throw it out. Don't deny it. Don't exclude it. Don't get mad at God about it, but rather say, if you said that, God, teach me. Teach me how to pray in accordance with that promise. Lord, teach me how to pray. I think the pattern is crucial. I think we need to know this picture, this parable of persistence. I think we need to know these promises. But I believe that your prayer life will never even come close to what Jesus intends for it, unless you see the last part of his paragraph here. Verse 12 and 13. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. Let me pause there for a second. Because what I read is really similar to Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. Apparently Jesus said the same thing in two different settings and gave two different endings to it. In Matthew 7, verse 11, Jesus says the same things and says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to you? That flows. That's logical. That seems like it's a building argument. It makes sense. And it's true about God. You know how to give good things to your children. God is your Father. He cares about you even more than you care about your children. God's going to give good gifts to you. And we celebrate that. But that's not what Jesus said here. That's not the way he ended this paragraph. He has something even bigger than that idea that God is good and he's going to give you good things. He said here in Luke chapter 11, verse 13, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? What is that? That's the fourth part of the answer of Lord, teach us how to pray like Jesus. The pattern, yes. The picture and parable of persistence, yes. The promises, oh yes. But here's the power. Here's the power for praying like Jesus. The power for praying like Jesus is this final answer here that Jesus gives. And it's how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You cannot pray like Jesus prayed unless the Holy Spirit is empowering your prayer. A non-Christian cannot pray like Jesus. Only a Christian who is letting the Holy Spirit fill him, fill her, work through him or her, then pray through him or her can pray like Jesus. If you want to pray like Jesus, you need to say, Lord, give me the Holy Spirit to guide my thinking, guide my wanting, guide my valuing, guide my discerning of your word, guide my understanding of your will, guide my recognition of your character and your awesomeness, guide my understanding of my role on this planet and how I'm supposed to be interacting with the things around me. Guide me to understand how to do your will and grow your kingdom so that when I pray your will, I pray the Holy Spirit prompted will of God. The Holy Spirit is the empowerer of your prayer life. Anything less than Holy Spirit prompted prayer would be soulish prayer. Prayer that originates out of your own thoughts, your own corrupted sin nature. And let me tell you, God doesn't promise to answer those prayers at all. The prayers he will always answer are the prayers the Holy Spirit puts inside of you and prays through you. You can be assured. You can be assured that those are prayers. It will always, always be answered. Lord, teach us how to pray. And Jesus wants to answer with a resounding, oh yes, I will. Look at his pattern. Look at that parable of persistence. Look at those amazing promises. And then seek the power to pray like Jesus. Let's pray. God Almighty, we're in awe of you. We worship you. You are our Heavenly Father, and you want to teach us how to pray. So we say, oh yes, please. Start this transforming work in us. Grow us from being infants in prayer, or toddlers in prayer, or children in prayer, to being mature in prayer. Teach us to pray like Jesus prayed. Thank you for the pattern. Thank you for the picture of persistence. And thank you for these huge promises of seeking and asking and knocking and getting what we're lifting up before you. But on top of it all, thank you for sending your Spirit to live the Jesus life through us and to pray the Jesus prayers through us. Help us, Holy Spirit, to pray like Jesus. We ask that today, the following days, this week, these coming weeks, this month, that you would transform us in our prayer life for your glory, for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.